Coming up tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Pacific, the U.S. men's national team will take on arch rival Mexico in the semifinals of the Nations League. The U.S. is taking this match and this series, I guess, or this tournament seriously. The first team will be on hand, minus maybe an injured player or two. To talk about it, a legend of the U.S. men's national team, Eric Winaldi. I listen to him almost every day on SiriusXM. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. They are taking this seriously, but they have, what, B.J. Callahan as the manager. This is not going to be the guy going forward. So can we take a lot out of it? Based on, we don't know what formation they're going to play and what kind of staying power it's going to have.
Hey, great question. Good to be with you, Adam. So listen, you know, I'm in Vegas. I've watched kind of all of this unfold. I had my reservations about it as well, but I started thinking about it. Over the history of the U.S. national team, we've had more interims than we've had coaches. It's just kind of like what we do when we don't know what to do. So, B.J. Callahan made the most sense to be in charge right now. Right. If you don't know his story, he came from Philadelphia, really. Was a part of Jimmy Curtin's staff, and then he made the move over to the national team as an analytics guy. And then he worked with Anthony Hudson through that internship, I guess. And then now he's just the same message. So I guess the logic here is that the messaging stays the same. They're not going to make any drastic changes in their style of play. And it was the easiest way to get through this transitional period.
All right, we're going to get to the potential of maybe even a Greg Berhalter return in a minute. Eric Winaldi joining us here. And I know I heard you and Tony Meola talking about formations yesterday. So do we expect them to line up? And I think you both were had a 4-2-3-1 in mind, which would put the new kid, Fuller and Balogun, basically as a center striker, and have three, you know, creative players behind him. Is that, especially with no Tyler Adams, are you anticipating that's the way they'll line up?
Yeah, I continuity again is the reason why Tony and I both think that will be the case. That's not what I want. That's just what I think is going to happen. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I would play a very different setup. I've been arguing that this team is and that the skill set of our players is really screaming for more of a 3-4-3 than it is a 4-3-3 and or a 4-3-2-1. So not to get all crazy here, but the truth is that this will make the most sense to this group. Yes, it will be predictable, but it will also give us a chance to see what a true number 10 might look like, and that might be Zendejas, sitting in the middle of the park, or Gio Reyna. So that was our conversation yesterday, just who is going to play underneath Balogun, and obviously we're all really anticipating what that's going to look like, and it's, to me, man, he's a game changer. We finally have somebody who can break lines, who's fast, who can get out of tight spaces. He had a really good week. It seems that every time I see his face on Twitter or any other social media platform, he's got a big smile on his face. He's happy to be there. So it's a big game for him, but it's not a deal breaker if he doesn't, you know, have his best night. It's not like we're just going to give up on him. It might take some more time, but. And I'm pretty excited about what the potential of this front 3-4 might look like tonight.
Eric Winaldi is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. The thing about the Balogun and the arrival of this player is that it almost came out of nowhere. I mean, I know a lot of people had been hoping that he would make this decision. He had been playing internationally in like U-18s for the U-20s, I guess, for England. And he could also play, other options as well. But he made the decision because he was born in the United States to come and play for the U.S., which to me is about the opportunity to leave a mark. And we know how stacked the English team is going to be, regardless of the level. But this is as much hype as I have seen for a player coming into the U.S. system that I can recall.
Yeah, and to remind everybody, Christian Pulisic had a similar decision with Croatia, but right. that decision was made when he was a minor.
Right.
Now, so that means mom and dad decided to play for America, not Christian. This was all his decision. He by the way, he was born on July 3rd, so he's one day away from being very American, but this, in Brooklyn as
right.
well. But, you know, I think that, and he had a chance to be a part of England or Nigeria, I think it was.
Right.
And the thing is about it is he's been a part of English, you know, the U-20s, the U-18s, U-17s. He's seen all that. And when he made that little trip over to America and just was happened to be in Orlando, it was all very strategic because he
sure.
wanted to meet the guys. He wanted to talk to some of the boys and see what it was all about. And I think, truly, this is my opinion, I think the expectations of the English team are always way too high. And they just set themselves up for disappointment when they don't win the whole thing. So it's you know, why be a part of something that is setting yourself up for failure or be a part of truly an American dream? I mean, it's going to have a chance to do something with a very special team on American soil in a World Cup. And I think that the logic just kind of made sense to him. But when he got all that love from all the social media platforms that, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people were like,
yeah.
already buying number 9 Balogun shirts, he got to see, you know, he got to feel that. And I think it really weighed in on his decision. I mean, look, I will say this, and I'm not trying to be controversial or anything, but when you look at what happened to some of the players of color that missed penalty kicks, when you look at
yeah.
that situation and the hate that they got from their own fan base,
yeah.
I think that weighed in as well. I mean, it was the racial stuff. Was horrific. And, you know, as much as we love to...
Each week we dive into the mind of the con artist, uncovering the secrets behind the biggest Ponzi schemes you've never heard about.
We're not talking about Bernie Madoff or Charles Ponzi.
That's right. Those guys have been covered to death. The Ponzi Playbook will focus on those fraudsters who have swindled millions from unsuspecting investors. Subscribe to the Ponzi Playbook wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we look at the game. We love the game, and the English certainly have wonderful fans at times. But they showed their ugly side, and I don't think he'll ever get that from an American fan base. That will never happen here. And I think, you know, you weigh it all together: the opportunity of playing in a World Cup, being part of a special team, and just not subjecting yourself to the possibility of all that ridicule. I think that's had a big reason why he chose to play for us, and we're happy to have him.
Eric Winalda is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Final thing I want to get to is the permanent. You can't even say a permanent because nobody's going to be a permanent, but the actual next manager of the men's national team, it will not be BJ Callahan. But two names that I have heard mentioned prominently, I just want your thoughts on, and then we can talk about Greg Berhalter, who's, I think, still trying to hang on to the job. Jesse Marsh, who is not attached to any club team, and former Crystal Palace manager Patrick Vieira. His name has come up. Do you have thoughts on either of those guys?
Well, I mean, Patrick is obviously you know, somebody that has had the American experience. He was with the New York Red Bulls,
right?
He was with NYCFC.
Yeah.
So he's been in New York. He's lived that, and I, you know, then of course Jesse has been with the New York Red Bulls. So, and he's been with multiple teams in Major League Soccer. So I think that you know, when you're looking for a manager, you're looking for European experience, as well as the realities of what this country represents. And there's a lot of red tape there. So you have to. You can't come in complaining from day one. I think Patrick and Jesse both will get that component of it, but they're both very capable managers. I think Patrick Bear is a little bit pragmatic for me, and I think Jesse Marsh is, you know, if you're going to criticize the guy, he's always been able to implement his style of play and his methodology in the club level. Very different deal at the national team. Very different.
Yeah.
It's a room full of egos. It's forced friendship, and it isn't about some style of play or some profile that you fit into or you don't. And the coach isn't the one who dictates what kind of style you play. Usually, it's the talent of your players. So And that is to get that final part of your question. That's Greg Berhalter's problem, is he was trying to implement his way of playing, his ideas, and he caused confusion with some of the guys, and it truly is not the way you run a national team. So I think he might be on his way to Holland. I'm hearing that he might land at Rotterdam, which is a club that he has familiarity with. He played there. And I do think a new manager will be selected in the middle of July. That was the timelines they threw out there. And I expect JT Betts and Crocker to stick to it. It'll be middle of July before we figure out who our new manager is.
Do you think we have talked about the person who will be named the next manager of the U.S. men's national team?
Yes. I think that it's just a matter of building a team around whoever takes the job, and I do believe Jesse Marsh is the front runner, and there's a lot of reasons why I believe that. We don't have enough time on this program to get into it all, but I think he does have the flexibility to alter his plan. He can recognize that this is not a club team, that it needs to be treated very differently, and he's smart enough to do that. He's an ex-teammate of mine and a good friend, so it's hard for me to elaborate on this without spilling too much of the beans, but I do think he is someone that should be, one, strongly considered, and two, shouldn't be pigeonholed into a guy that can only play one way. He's a much more complex and complicated guy than that, and he's able to figure out and navigate what's best for a national team, and he'll surround himself with good people.
Eric Winalda, maybe you. He'll surround himself. I thank you very much for your time, sir. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got it, Adam. Thank you.
You got it. Eric Winalda here.